Hey y'all, Flickers of Fear time once again, going all the way back to 1961 for this movie. This is a movie that honestly had never been on my radar at all. I had never heard of this movie. You know, it just kind of, to me, it just kind of came out of nowhere, which is really weird because this totally sounds like something I would have been into. I guess what happened, I had never heard of it until Shudder added it to their roster probably like a couple months ago. And I was scrolling through and I'm like, oh man, I never heard of that. And I kind of read the description. I'm like, oh man, that sounds pretty good. And I was like, oh, I got to get around to watching that. So I finally did. Now it's, I guess it was restored in 2007. I don't know if it was previously like a lost movie or whatever, but it does seem like one that a lot of people don't really talk about anymore, even though it's pretty notable for several reasons, but also for being kind of the first starring role of Dennis Hopper. Now, he had been in movies prior to this, obviously, but this was his kind of first star turn. And he's like super young in this. I just couldn't even believe it. And it's like he plays a character so unlike a lot of his later characters that it was like really, I don't know, it was like really weird and like kind of jarring to watch. But yeah, so as I said, this came out in 1961. It's called Night Tide. Now, this was directed by Curtis Harrington, and he did a lot of like kind of horror movies, experimental movies. He seemed like he was real into, I don't know, kind of like occult stuff and that kind of thing. So as he seemed like a really interesting dude. I think even later on, I think he was the advisor on Gods and Monsters, that movie that came out. When the fuck did that come out? In the 2000s sometime. That was about James Whale, the guy that made Frankenstein. So there's that as well. But this movie is just, I'm going to recommend this if you're into 60s horror. If you like Carnival of Souls, you will probably really dig this because the vibe of it is very similar. Also, if you like Val Lewton's movies from the 40s, particularly Cat People, then you'll probably dig this as well, because this has almost the, well, I don't want to say it's the same story as Cat People, because that was kind of more like a werewolfy type of story, but this is kind of similar, but different monsters. And I will say that they don't make enough movies about killer mermaids. Can I just say that right now? So I'm like really, really happy that this movie is about a mermaid. Maybe. They leave it ambiguous. Like I said, if you have not seen this, it's on Shudder. I think it's also on Tubi if you don't have Shudder and you want to watch it for free. So, because I probably am going to, I'm going to spoil it because, like I said, this is one of the ones that has kind of an ambiguous and like leaves a little question mark over the end, so you're not really sure entirely of what happened. So, you know, and it's kind of hard to talk about it if I can't talk about that. So, spoiler alert, I'm going to say that right here. So some of this was also kind of inspired a little bit by Annabelle Lee, the Edgar Allan Poe poem. And indeed, there's like a quote of it at the end. But so, like I said, it was made in 61, but I don't think it came out till 63. Then it kind of flew under the radar, I suppose, restored in 2007, and then Shudder just added it. So I've seen like some other channels covering it recently just because Shudder kind of rediscovered it, I guess. Because like I said, I had never heard of it previous to this, even though this sounds like it'd be right up my alley. So you'd think that I would have. So what we have here, we have Dennis Hopper is playing a dude named Johnny Drake. And he is, he's just recently joined the Navy and he's on shore leave in Santa Monica. Now they do kind of establish a little bit about his past. It's so funny. Like I said, it's so funny how fucking young he is at this. And he just plays kind of like this naive, like this wide-eyed innocent type of character, because it's almost kind of like, I think he says at one point to one of the other characters, which I'll get to in a minute, that he says, you know, his dad died and like left him and his mom were really close. And then when his mom died, he didn't really know what to do with his life and he just wanted to see the world. So he joined the Navy, but he hasn't really been in the Navy that long and he hasn't really been anywhere. He said, you know, the farthest I've been is the Hawaiian Islands. So it's like, so he's still very, very young and very inexperienced. So he's on shore leave and he goes into this place called the Blue Grotto, which is kind of like a jazz beatnik-y kind of club. And he goes in there and he sees this beautiful dark-haired woman. And so he goes over and starts talking to her and she's like pretty dismissive at first. You know, he's kind of like, hey, this music's cool, isn't it? She's like, yeah, I'd like to listen to it. So like, shut your yap. Like, not like that, but I mean, that's kind of what she meant. So he kind of persists and he's just like, oh, okay, sorry. And but he still kind of like sits there. It's like offers to buy her a drink and she doesn't want him to. And all this other stuff. She's not rude, but she's kind of like, yeah, back off, leave me alone. But then he gets even more intrigued by her when this weird looking older woman with like these black clothes and this creepy like eyeliner and stuff like comes over and starts talking to her in a foreign language, and this like seems to upset the younger woman. So, and then she's just like, yeah, I gotta go. So then she leaves. But Dennis, I call him Dennis because that's the actor's name. Johnny is the character's name. So Johnny follows her, though, because he's kind of, in the space of like 5 minutes, has become totally obsessed with this girl. So he starts pretty much following her home. And finally, she's just like, okay, fine. She says her name is Maura, and that she lives in an apartment over the merry-go-round, because this is all set at the Santa Monica Pier. So it's a very carny kind of atmosphere, which, like I said, reminded me very much of Carnival of Souls. This isn't as surreal as that, but it has kind of the same vibe to it. So finally, Maura agrees. She's like, okay, well, why don't you come over to my apartment tomorrow and I'll make you like some brunch or whatever. And so he says, fine. So they kind of meet and start hanging out, and it starts kind of developing over the period that they're sort of, you know, with this burgeoning romance that they're having. There's some other people that start kind of warning him about her. Now, the first thing that he finds out is that her job is that she is a sideshow attraction. She's Maura the Mermaid. And she says, yeah, I put on like a mermaid costume and I lay in a tank that looks like it has water in it, and people pay 25 cents like to come look at her. So it's like, you know, a sideshow. So he thinks that's pretty cool. And he's like, you know, can I come see it and everything? So when he goes to see her in her mermaid, in her little mermaid outfit or whatever, there's a guy who's, you know, outside the tent, like trying to get people to come in. And his name is Captain Murdoch. And he basically says that, it's established later that Maura is kind of like his ward, kind of like his adopted daughter type of thing. He's like, yeah, I found her. She was orphaned like on this Greek island. And so I brought her here and raised her, and now they kind of work together. So he's kind of like her father figure or whatever. But as time goes on, like I said, it starts to become maybe, you know, just from what people are saying, that maybe she's not a fake mermaid, that maybe she's for real a mermaid. Now, she seems to believe this as well, because, I mean, Captain Murdoch pretty much straight up tells Johnny, look, she's a mermaid, and, you know, when the moon is full or whatever, like, all the other sea people, like, are calling her back to the ocean, and she might get a little murdery, like, right around that time. So he's like, and I like you, kid, and I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you, so maybe you should, like, break it off. And another person that he talks to is like this other guy and his daughter, I think, and they kind of run the merry-go-round and some of the other concessions. And that daughter is like super into Johnny too, so she's like not even making a secret of it. So she basically says, yeah, we don't really, you know, we're not trying to like, you know, step on your dick or anything, but weirdly, two of Maura's last boyfriends that she went around with mysteriously drowned. So we don't know if she killed them or, you know, but it's a little weird. So we just thought we'd let you know that. So as the story goes on, as I said, Maura seems also very convinced that she is indeed a mermaid, and that during times of the full moon, the sea is pretty much calling her, and she's afraid that she's going to kind of get sucked out there and like back in with the sea people. And like I said, interestingly too, this woman, like the older woman with the eyeliner and the flowy black clothes and stuff, she's also kind of seen a few times, like sort of like following Maura around or following Johnny around. But the strange thing about that is that one time Johnny follows her and he ends up at Captain Murdoch's house, like quite accidentally, but then the woman has sort of like disappeared and nobody else seems to have seen her. So I kind of want to get into that a little bit too, because that's kind of the one thing that's sort of left a little bit ambiguous. So everybody's trying to convince Johnny that Maura is a real mermaid. She thinks she's a real mermaid. He starts having these really weird dreams about it, like with tentacles and, you know, of them like making out on the couch, and then she has a big fish tail and stuff like that. So it's just this really creepy, I don't know if I'd call this a straight up horror movie. It's almost, it kind of is, but it's more like, It's not like as creepy or as scary as Carnival of Souls. Like, it doesn't have like that creepy straight up horror imagery, but it definitely has some creepy, like unsettling imagery. It's almost kind of like a suspense mystery type thing with like a little bit of horror element to it. But it's just, I don't know, like the atmosphere of this is just like really, really great. I love movies that are kind of set in like carnivals, fairs, things like that. I just like that atmosphere. And this just has that. Even though a lot of it is even shot in daylight, it still has this really creepy vibe to it that's kind of like hard to explain. So as time goes on, you know, he's like, well, you can't believe you're not really a mermaid. Come on, that doesn't really happen and stuff. But she seems really convinced. And he even finds her like one night, he's having a bad dream, but he wakes up and he finds out that she's like walked out to underneath the pier, and she's under there like freaking out, like, they're calling me and all this other kind of stuff. And he has to like drag her back into the house. And then interestingly, she asks him, you know, then he kind of starts to, well, maybe she is a mermaid, or at least she believes she's a mermaid. Maybe she's, or at least maybe she did kill those dudes. So maybe she's crazy, which also that would not be good. So he's real reluctant. So basically she's like, oh, well, let's go out diving one day. And he's kind of like, yeah, I don't think I really like that idea. But, you know, she's like, yeah, come on, it'll be fun. So they go out to this kind of remote spot that she knows, oh, there's a reef down there. And so they're both diving down there. And pretty much within like 2 minutes, she goes and cuts his air hose and then takes the fuck off. So he has to like, he lives, so, like he has to get to the surface really quick. And then he gets back in the boat, but she doesn't come back. Now, interestingly, after this, it's okay. So after all this happens, it's like I said, it's very ambiguous as to whether she's an actual mermaid or not. But then after this bit happens, Johnny is freaked out. He doesn't know where she went. And so he goes back to, you know, the shore or whatever in the boat. And then the next day he goes back to the fair, and Captain Murdoch is still there, like out front, just, hey, here, come see more of the mermaid or whatever. And so Johnny kind of like sneaks in there. And Mora is in there, but she's dead, right? Like the corpse is in there. And so he like wigs out. Then Captain Murdoch like runs in with a gun and he's gonna like shoot Johnny. And it's just this big crazy thing. So then at the end, they have this kind of like Scooby-Doo like reveal kind of thing where Captain Murdoch basically says, no, Mora's not really a mermaid, but when I adopted her, like from this Greek island, she was an orphan or whatever, I didn't want her to ever leave me. So I convinced her that she was a mermaid and that every now and then, like the sea would call her and stuff like that. He's like, I just didn't want her to get, like, he started doing that mostly like when dudes started sniffing around, you know, when she started dating guys. So actually Captain Murdoch was the one that had killed the two previous boyfriends for hanging around too close and maybe taking her away from him, which is a little creepy when you think about it. Because he's kind of, like I said, he's kind of like a father figure. As if that wasn't bad enough, he also sort of convinced her not only that she was a mermaid, but also convinced her that she killed them. So she's believing, like I said, much like cat people, where she thinks, oh, every time I have sex, I'll turn into a cat and kill you. So it's kind of like that kind of thing. She's like, every time you go out with a dude, you're going to turn into a murder mermaid and you're going to kill them. And so Captain Murdoch had like sort of developed this whole thing to basically keep her under his power, under his, you know, he didn't seem like a sinister character necessarily, but he just seemed like kind of a sad, lonely old man that, you know, she was like the only thing in his life, and so he didn't want to lose her to someone else. So he came up with this really elaborate crazy story that he got her to buy into because he kept repeating it to her like from when she was a kid. But the weird thing about that, so even though it seems to be solved, no, Mora was not really a mermaid, you know Captain Murdoch was the one that killed the boys, she didn't do it, even though she did straight up try to kill Dennis Hopper, though. But like I said, that was because she thought she'd killed the other two boys and she thought that was just what she did. But it still left a little bit ambiguous because they never explain the older lady that you see a couple of times, like the one that came up to Mora in the club, like at the first, like in the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, and like talks to her in a foreign language, and Mora seems to understand what she's saying and is like freaked out by it. And then later Johnny sees her and follows her and, you know, he ends up at Captain Murdoch's house, but then everybody's like, hey, did you see a woman walk by here? And everybody's like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. And Captain Murdoch didn't know who that woman was or anything like that. So we don't know if maybe she really was a mermaid. And like, maybe this woman was like one of the other mermaids being like, hey, bitch, you need to like come back into the ocean because you're a mermaid. And so like, maybe she was trying to get her to come back. Or if Captain Murdoch had, for whatever reason, like hired this woman to just go around being creepy and like pretending she was, they call her Water Witch in the credits, at least they don't call her that in the movie, but you know, maybe Captain Murdoch hired and then he pretended to Johnny that he didn't know who she was or what the fuck was going on. What he thought of, what woman, I don't know what you're talking about. So there's kind of some ambiguity there. And there's also this really great scene where Johnny gets a tarot card reading from the woman that was also in the Atomic Brain, if any of y'all are like Mystery Science Theater fans. So I was like, as soon as I heard her voice, I was like, oh my God, Atomic Brain, I recognize that voice. But yeah, so she gives him this really elaborate like tarot reading, and some of the stuff she says in there is, I don't know, could be interpreted that maybe there was some supernatural shit. So it's left ambiguous, I guess, who that woman was. They never explain it. Whether Maura was actually a mermaid or not, you're led to believe not, but then there's kind of like some question marks left over it too. So, you know, it's a really weird, creepy, eerie, kind of suspense thriller type of thing. And like I said, there's not enough movies about killer mermaids. Somebody needs to rectify that. So as I said, if you're really into cat people, I really, really recommend, this would be a good double feature with Carnival of Souls. This and Carnival of Souls just are like really seem like they would go really well together. So definitely, if that sounds like your kind of thing and you want to see Dennis Hopper looking like a naive 19-year-old or however old he was when this movie was made, then I would definitely recommend it. It's just like, I really, really dug it. I really liked the whole creepy atmosphere of it. It's just, it's hard to explain because it's not like a scary, scary movie, but there's just something, I don't know, just kind of like unsettling about it, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, so it's on Shudder at the moment. It looks beautiful. The cinematography is beautiful. And I believe it's also on Tubi for free, at least in the United States, if you don't have a Shudder subscription. So definitely go check it out. And let me know if you thought that Maura was actually a mermaid or not, because I'm kind of conflicted about the situation and who that woman was. So that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.